From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Ammon Bundy, who is originally from Nevada, is an anti-government militant and activist who actually led the 2016 occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. And in March of 2020, Bundy created the People's Rights Network. Bundy's critics would say he has been a continuous source of division and unease across Idaho, as he is known for spreading misinformation as well as using inflammatory rhetoric. Now, most recently, Bundy has been in the news because he was ordered to pay more than $52 million in damages after he lost a defamation lawsuit that was brought against him by St. Luke's Health System. This was brought against him for maligning the organization as well as its employees. Well, since receiving that judgment, Bundy has fled the state of Idaho, and at this point, his whereabouts are not known. So joining us today is Doug Gross. He is the CEO of Gross Farms and Idaho Leaders United board member, along with Stephen Pickett, a researcher who is focused on white nationalist, paramilitary, and anti-democracy groups from Western State Center. And they are joining us to talk more about all of this. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you for inviting us.
So, Stephen, I want to start the conversation with you today, Stephen. Can you talk a little bit about the history of not just Ammon Bundy, but this anti-government movement, because it didn't just pop up a couple of years ago. So kind of, you know, give us a little bit of background.
Sure. So the anti-government movement in the United States has been around for many decades at this point. I think its high point was in the 1990s. And then we saw a little bit of a wane in the early 2000s, but then yet another spike with the election of President Obama. And in more recent years, what we've seen is these groups being certainly less on the radar, doing much more kind of clandestine kind of operations. But a lot of that then changed during the pandemic, where we saw a lot of these groups looking to capitalize on fears around the pandemic, and looking to trying to gain a following, especially around pushing back against things like the shutdowns that we saw that were all aimed towards protecting citizens. But in response, these paramilitary and militia groups saw this as, you know, overreach by the federal government, and looked to kind of gain followers by pushing back against that. And Ammon Bundy was certainly one of the most prominent people doing that at the very beginning of the pandemic. He kind of capitalized on that by starting the People's Rights Network, and was able to gain quite a few followers in a pretty short span of time.
Mm-hmm. So, Doug, as I said, you're a farmer. How do you fit into, not the anti-extremist movement, but when did it come to your attention, and you then got involved with the Idaho Leaders United, organization?
Well, first, yes, I am a farmer in the Boise Valley. I was approached by some people to possibly join Idaho Leaders United. It's a statewide coalition spearheaded by leaders in law enforcement, in industry, and healthcare, and agriculture. We're dedicated to standing up against political extremism in our state. And I've basically been a Republican my entire life, but what I've seen of late, it goes away from the values that I have, that we have in our state as good citizens. And I just felt like I needed to get on board with doing something to counteract this. Our mission's really centered around a commitment to justice and defending the core values that define the people of Idaho, and standing united against any attempts to undermine those principles.
Well, and Doug, I think you make a good point, right? Is that, what is right? It's principles. It's things like that, right? It's morality, ethics, and it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. And I think there was this idea sometimes that, maybe if you have not been in Idaho for a long time, don't fully understand. And that is this true identity of independence, which goes beyond being a Republican or a Democrat. Do you feel that in the sense of how I think most Idahoans feel, even though there are these extremist movements, if that makes sense?
We tend to be good, hardworking people that want to reach out, be friendly, and work with other people in a positive manner. And this is just driving a wedge in the state.
So, Stephen, talk to us about the work that you do with the Western State Center. In particular, in regards to the need for people to have a better understanding of anti-government movements, and then a little bit narrower, how this has been impacting Idaho with Ammon Bundy and the people rights movement over these last few years that his home has been here in Idaho.
Sure. So for those not familiar with Western State Center, we're based in the Pacific Northwest and Mountain States, and serve as a movement building, leadership development, and strategy hub to engage partners committed in strengthening inclusive democracy. We take regional action for national impact. And since 1987, we've played a catalytic role in regional and national movements for equality and justice. And within Western State Center, I work in our Momentum program, where we equip community groups and civic institutions with the tools they need to push back against anti-democracy and white nationalist groups. And Bundy and his People's Rights Network are a really good example of that. And what we've seen in the past 3 or 4 years, since the beginning of the pandemic, Ammon and was able to kind of capitalize on stroking kind of fears within the community with regards to the pandemic, and was able to really push quite a few, was able to kind of gain a pretty large following quite quickly by pushing back against things like the shutdown from Governor Little, and all with an eye towards attacking elected officials, law enforcement, judges, et cetera, all folks who he saw as kind of infringing on Idahoans' rights. And really what this is an attempt to kind of drive a wedge within the community, as Doug was saying, and really trying to capitalize on people's fears. And, you know, that was in some ways a quite successful tactic in terms of being able to gain a pretty large following quite quickly. But what we've seen with Bundy is, you know, wherever he goes, he inevitably ends up causing unease within the communities that he inserts himself into. And this has certainly, you know, been the case in Idaho, where his behavior over the past years, a few years, has escalated alarmingly, progressing kind of far beyond ordinary civil discourse into blatant threats of violence and unlawful activity. And, you know, given the damage he has caused during his time in Idaho, you know, I certainly believe that it's a positive that he's no longer residing in the state. And, you know, the manner in which he departed, you know, with little to no fanfare and kind of fleeing in secrecy, indicates, you know, that he was feeling the pressure of finally being held accountable for his actions.
Doug, how does Idaho Leaders United view Ammon Bundy's departure from Idaho?
Well, I think his threatening and intimidating tactics that he used, you know, were really upsetting. And I think followers, they realize they have no place, you know, in Idaho, as demonstrated by the court's ruling. His departure, just an attempt to avoid accountability, which clearly indicates his total disregard for the laws of Idaho.
Stephen, I want to kind of pick up where we left off in regards to Ammon Bundy leaving, but can we talk a little bit about this, you know, this lawsuit that St. Luke's Health System brought against Ammon Bundy? Because it was finally really getting into his pocketbook, right? Almost bankrupting him, taking his home, all of these things that in a lot of ways really disabled him from being able to do harm. With that said, I don't believe that this is unique when it comes to extremist groups and getting them to stop. We have another example of the Aryan Nations being taken down in North Idaho in the 90s. And once again, it was going after their pocketbook.
Yeah, I think it's a useful comparison, absolutely. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage to stand up to someone like Bundy, especially with his long history of threats and intimidation. And, you know, with that in mind, you know, St. Luke's has demonstrated exceptional leadership and a steadfast commitment to upholding the principles that define Idaho, principles like adhering to the rule of law and holding, you know, anti-democracy actors like Bundy accountable. And, you know, this what this does as well is it sends a message that for communities that there are many different tools that you can use to respond to activity and organizing by anti-democracy groups and individuals. You know, the use of litigation is something that we're seeing a lot more around the country to push back against white nationalist groups, to push back against paramilitary and anti-democracy groups. And I think the St. Luke's case is certainly going to be a model for future cases in this regard.
So, Stephen, to play devil's advocate here, because you and I both know that there are people who very much agree with Ammon Bundy's views with this anti-government movement. Where then do we draw the line of, look, people may disagree with what Ammon Bundy, with what the people's rights movement is saying and doing. However, are we infringing upon their rights? Are we infringing upon free speech? Are, you know, where is that line drawn to someone just, you know, spewing rhetoric that may not be true, you know, and their free speech rights to, we need to stop this movement from going forward?
So, you know, I think everyone has their right to voice their opinions about, you know, decisions made by the government. But, you know, I think Bundy and his ilk have crossed the line on multiple occasions. And I think what we saw with regards to St. Luke's is a really good example of that. It's one thing to hold a protest in response to something. It's another thing completely to, you know, hold an event that results in ambulances and other emergency services being diverted to other hospitals for folks who are seeking care for cancers and other illnesses being, you know, having their services delayed or pushed back because of, you know, the partial shutdown of the hospital. That's going too far, and Bundy and his followers needed to be held accountable for their actions, and that's why I think we saw the lawsuit being filed by St. Luke's. So, you know, with regards to Bundy and what we saw at St. Luke's, this is par for the course for him. If you look at his past, you know, we saw the takeover of the wildlife refuge in Malheur. We saw what happened in Bunkerville with the standoff with law enforcement there. These are not rational, you know, civil disobedience actions. These are extreme. These are putting people in grave danger, and these are actions that need to be, you know, those who engage in those type of activities need to be held accountable, and we saw that with the lawsuit filed by St. Luke's.
And Doug, how do you feel about how St. Luke's handled all of this? And from there, this idea of free speech.
Well, I really applaud the hospital for taking a tough stand against this guy and his followers. And their St. Luke's commitment to uphold justice despite the persistent harassment and external pressures deserves the commendation and gratitude of all law-abiding citizens in Idaho. Ammon Bundy and those he represents, they're not victims in this situation. the victims were the patients that were denied care when that hospital shut down.
And Doug, what, in your opinion, what kind of message does Ammon Bundy's departure from the state send, or what kind of message would you like it to send?
Well, no, I just like to, you know, no one is exempt from facing the consequences of their actions. And I think that he's been caught and needs to pay for it.
So Stephen, same kind of question for you then. With Bundy departing, and as you said, right, kind of with no fanfare, I mean, all of a sudden just not here. What kind of message does that send? Not just to folks here in Idaho, not just to people that follow Bundy, but in the broader purview of here we are in this climate and culture in the United States right now, where there is such extremist views on both sides, right? And what does this mean as we move forward in a democracy that sometimes feels very fragile?
So I think a couple of things. I think one is that we can all agree that political violence, threats, intimidation are not a viable strategy, are not something that people are going to get behind, either at the ballot box or within communities. And so, you know, Ammon Bundy has not only lost, I think, a large number of his followers, but I think he's lost a lot of credibility as well within the movement in response to his actions. And, you know, there's certainly a smaller kind of hardcore circle around him that certainly supports him still and will continue to. But I would say if you look at the numbers of folks who are backing him and who are members of his network, in 2020 and 2021 versus today, I think those numbers are a lot smaller, and his influence kind of within the broader anti-democracy movement has waned due to some of his actions. And you know, the people of Idaho have spoken both at the ballot box and also you know, beyond that as well with their actions with regards to Bundy. I think folks are sick and tired of his, you know, threats, his intimidation tactics. And I think the general public is very supportive of, you know, the outcome with regards to the lawsuit. And again, you know, Bundy, as Doug said, is not the victim here. He's the one that instigated this. And now at finally, when he's, you know, being held accountable, his response is not to, you know, take it standing up. It's to kind of flee in the middle of the night and now kind of go underground. And it remains to be seen kind of where he resurfaces. And, you know, wherever that is, you know, I hope that community is prepared and you know, take some lessons from the folks of from Idahoans who have, you know, responded in kind.
Before I let both of you go, I want to talk very quickly about another headline that we've seen this week. And this is about another extremist topic. I'm curious about what your thoughts are in regards to the Idaho Freedom Foundation's involvement with an alt-right propagandist, Dave Riley. And Stephen, can I start with you for folks who aren't familiar with him? Who is Dave Riley?
Sure. So, you know, for those not familiar, Dave Riley is a white nationalist operative with a long history of anti-Semitism who moved to Idaho not too long ago and quickly got involved politically. He ran for office and has continued to kind of inject himself within political circles in our state. He was a known participant and promoter of the deadly Unite the Right white nationalist rally in Charlottesville before coming to Idaho. And, you know, since moving here, he's continued to use his platform to espouse anti-Semitism and other bigoted views. And it really is concerning to see this news that he was hired recently by the Idaho Freedom Foundation to do some communications work for them. We know that the Idaho Freedom Foundation is a very powerful and influential organization within within the state, and for them to bring someone with this long history of bigotry under their wing is certainly a concern.
And Doug, your thoughts on the Idaho Freedom Foundation's involvement with Dave Riley?
Well, the Freedom Foundation, you know, really promotes itself as a voice of true conservatism in Idaho. You know, they spend time, they rate every legislator based on whether they've been to the IFS agenda. But if they're willing to align themselves with somebody like Dave Riley, they've really compromised their credibility in a telling way. Anti-Semitism and violence are really not conservative values. I think the IFS should not have to be told that. But Idaho Leaders United, I think we would like to see the IFF cut ties with Dave Riley immediately and put an end to his destructive influence that he brings to our state.
And wrapping up, Stephen, I would like one last thought from you. Moving forward, what do you hope the general public's takeaway would be from these last years with Ammon Bundy in Idaho and at now having fled the state after being held accountable?
You know, I would hope that the general public is empowered by this. It shows that we don't have to sit around and sit on our hands with regards to responding to activity and moves by anti-democracy figures like Bundy. There are many different tools to be able to respond to anti-democracy figures and white nationalists who relocate to states like Idaho. And, you know, I think the example of Bundy's is a really positive one. And we should, as we just mentioned, it's not just Bundy that's residing in Idaho. We have people like Dave Riley and others who are relocating to the state on a yearly basis and looking to cause more division, you know, cause more destruction. And we need more of these positive stories in regards to response. And we also need more leadership. And I look to Idaho Leaders United as a really positive example there, where, again, you have conservative leaders standing up and saying that this is not my Republican Party. This is not the conservative values that I was raised on. And these figures that are relocating here are not coming here with our best interest in mind.
Jim, I just want to say, you know, this is just not acceptable behavior for Idaho, and we just can't tolerate it.
I want to thank both of you for taking time today to talk with us about this. I really appreciate the conversation. We've been talking with Doug Gross, CEO of Gross Farms, and Idaho Leaders United board member, along with Stephen Piggott. He's a researcher who is focused on white nationalist, paramilitary, and anti-democracy groups from Western State Center. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.